Money FM 89.3, best of the evening runway. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
That's right, you're listening to Money FM 89.3. Time now for Market View, where we take a look at how the Singapore stock market is likely to close for the day, the biggest movers, sectors and companies to watch. But as always, a quick recap of how we started. Well, Singapore stocks advanced at the opening bell this morning, falling higher than expected growth and the country's factory output for February out yesterday. Now, if you recall, data released by the Economic Development Board, or EDB, showed that Singapore's factory output grew 3.8% in February, exceeding private sector economists' estimates of 0.5%. Then early trade, the Straits Times Index was up 0.5% to 3,248 points after some 34 million securities changed hands in the broader market. So closing numbers, as usual, they're still firming up, but here's what I have on my screen right now. The Straits Times Index up 0.47% at 3,248 points. In terms of value turnover, we are looking at 1.34 billion Sing dollars. The gainers outnumbered losers, 289 versus 270. Top five movers by value, we've got here DBS, UOB, OCBC, Singtel and Seatrium. Heavily traded securities, Seatrium, Singtel and Genting Singapore. Now, in terms of companies to watch for today, we do have UOB after the group announced two new appointments to its management team. Now, elsewhere, from more updates on QuadLife to the EU's probe into Apple, Google and Meta, we've got more corporate and international headlines in focus. Also on deck, Universal Music, BTS, McDonald's and Krispy Kreme. Now, what's happening here? Let's break down the developments with Jeremy Tan, CEO of Tiger Fund Management. Jeremy, welcome.
Hi, thank you, Tianjin.
Great to have you on board, Jeremy. And let's start with the Singapore stock market as usual. How has the STI fared so far today? Any surprises when it comes to the biggest movers or the sectors they lie in?
Well, sure. If you look at the STI, it's up about 0.56% today, the last I saw. Mm-hmm. If you can see that this is due to the positive optimism, as you have rightly mentioned, that the factory output numbers have grown strongly in February. By about 3.8%. This is strongly against the consensus estimates. If you look at the key sectors that have benefited from this factory output numbers, the sectors actually included electronics, info communication sector, consumer electronics, and also the biomedical sector. So you can see that Singapore have been well poised to actually benefit from the uptake in the global semiconductor sector. Especially, you can see that many companies are ramping up their expenditures, especially in the AI space, the artificial intelligence space. Generally, I think that in terms of the STI components that fed well today, I think there is not much surprises. The banks, especially the top two banks, DBS and also UOB, they have also fed very strongly with regard to the strong output numbers, given that they have very strong correlation to the systematic growth in Singapore, given the strong set of the macroeconomic data that we have seen yesterday.
Right. And you talked about UOB, Jeremy. Let's zoom in on that. It has two new appointments to its management team yesterday. Now, broadly speaking, how significant are such management changes to a player in the banking industry?
Well, I think UOB did point out that there is going to be two leadership transition, especially in the head of global markets and also the CEO of UOB Hong Kong. There has been some leadership changes there. So I think that this set of leadership transition, I think while they could be pivotal moments for organization, but I do think that this is more of a natural course of leadership transition. And I think it's more of a handing over the baton for both the cases. So I think not too much to look into there.
Right. And another company that perhaps have more for us to unpack is QuadLife. It is seeing a dispute between its two substantial shareholders, and it also said it received another requisition notice from its controlling shareholder, Trans Global Real Estate Group. And just this afternoon, news, right, its CFO also arrested and released on bail. How far are such developments among shareholders a natural progression given the saga around the firm, and really what is next?
Well, I think that there remains to be a lot of uncertainty given the recent saga surrounding the company called Life, especially what we have seen, since the Ministry of Health have actually begun investigation on the company's processes and also basically being slapped with a 6-month suspension by the Ministry of Health. So I think going forward, there is a lot of challenges, both on the leadership front and also the uncertainty of whether, what will happen after the suspension, because what has been found is that there is an audit that has been conducted and there was a lot of discrepancies in terms of how it has conducted its business, especially some of the tanks were also being damaged. Some of the tanks also having suboptimal temperatures than what he has promised. So going forward, I think that the controlling shareholder could want to try to perhaps cement or even reshuffle the current leadership. Mm-hmm. And perhaps, that will try to put a bit more certainty for shareholders. But with that said, I think that at this current juncture, given the double whammy, both on the core business and also the leadership transition, I think that doesn't really bode well for share prices going, at least until the dust is settled.
Right. And across the region, Jeremy, the yen slid to the weakest level in about 34 years against the US dollar today. I believe earlier the currency declined 0.3% to 151.97 per US dollar in Tokyo, surpassing 151.95 levels set in October 2022. What happened here? Do you expect BOJ officials to really step in and stem the decline?
Well, I think that at the start of the year, I think the Bank of Japan did actually increase short-term interest rates. It has basically ditched the negative interest rate policies and raising short-term interest rate to 0 to 0.1%. So this is actually the first hike since 2007. And this actually sparks the turning point in the Japanese monetary policy. So I think that, like many economies actually forecasted that the Japanese yen will actually appreciate from here. But unfortunately, it has gone the other way around. It has further depreciated, as we have seen, to close to the 152 level. I think that the Bank of Japan continue to want to raise interest rates. However, I think the policy transition of normalizing interest rates will likely be slow and steady. Mm. And the interest rate differential compared to the U.S. still remains high. Do remember that the current Fed fund rate still stands at 5.5% to 5.5%. So there's still a very large interest rate differential. And we do see that, U.S. is currently right now in a more of a Goldilocks scenario. And CPI continues to tick up. So it's uncertain whether U.S. would cut interest rates to perhaps narrow the interest rate differential against the yen. And as a result, you have seen that the yen continue to depreciate sharply. So I think that the finance minister of Japan has come in to state that they will not rule out more steps to actually control this set of currency declines. So I think this is a very strong set of statement from the government.
Right. If you're just tuning in, we're now in conversation with Jeremy Tan, CEO of Tiger Fund Management. Now, Jeremy, let's take a look at what's happening in Europe. Antitrust regulators said on Monday that Apple, Google and Meta will be investigated for potential breaches of the new EU Digital Markets Act. I believe the law here aims to challenge the power of tech giants by making it easier for people to move between competing online services like your social media platforms, your internet browsers, your app stores. How much damage will this then cause to social media giants? And really, who's next on regulators' list? Amazon, TikTok?
Yeah, well, I think the current set of the new laws are actually trying to prevent some of these monopolistic large tech companies who have a very strong competitive advantage in the market. Right now, there is actually investigations that are being done on Alphabet, Apple, and Meta. and going forward, probably even extending that to other companies. They have actually pointed out six companies, including Amazon, ByteDance, and also Microsoft. So I think that if actually they are being found guilty after this set of new law that's being in place, the corporate will be fined by as much as 10% of its global annual turnover. And I think recently we have actually seen in EU that Apple was actually fined a whopping $1.8 billion after a 4 years investigation of basically unfairly favoring its own music streaming services but, against others' competitors. You know, as you know, Apple and many of these other companies have a very strong advantage against its competitors and its users. Apple actually charges 30% commissions for purchases through its App Store. I think going forward, perhaps Amazon and also TikTok are also facing similar pressures. I think the trend going forward definitely is towards more protectionism for vulnerable consumers, especially from big tech companies by governments. And we have seen that, you know, with regards to the FTC, you know, suing Amazon for its anti-competitive stance. And also, as you know, the House in the US is actually passing a bill that could potentially ban TikTok.
Right. And Jeremy, I've got two questions and 3 minutes to go, but I really want to get through them because you talked about music. And the next question is on Universal Music Group. Is drug distribution deal gaining rights to South Korean boy band BTS music, along with deeper ties to social media app Weavers? Now, we know Universal Music earlier, it had a standoff with TikTok. So broadly speaking, do you think this move would propel the influence of Universal Music against the other social media giants? Will it spur other music companies to partner up with alternative social media platforms as well?
I think with regards to the Universal Music Group, it's perhaps more due to the differences in the contractual terms between themselves and also TikTok. So I think it's perhaps too quick to come to a conclusion whether this trend will lead to other music label or publishing companies that will follow in suit, like Universal. So I guess I'm of view that you know, partnerships is basically not a zero sum game for the publishing companies or the social media platforms. In fact, it's positive. It's actually a win-win scenario if they do come to an agreement. But unfortunately, with that said, for this set of negotiation, it did not come through. And basically, the TikTok will have to remove all the content that is linked to Universal Music Group.
Right. And let's end the conversation, Jeremy, on a sweet note. Krispy Kreme shares had their biggest gain ever since their IPO back in 2021. Shares up 39% in New York last night. And that is after McDonald's agreed to bring Krispy Kreme donuts to its restaurants across the U.S. Now, any thoughts on this? And would you expect more of such tie-ups as, you know, companies or F&B companies look for investment-light, asset-light methods to expand amid the current economic situation?
Well, yes. In fact, this is apparently very, very good news for Krispy Kreme, given that it's being distributed in all of McDonald's restaurants nationwide by 2026.
Yeah.
Basically, that will actually double all its point of access by 2026 for Krispy Kreme. And this set of news, I think it's very positive given that if Krispy Kreme were to grow this by themselves organically, this would never have been possible to double that point of access within such a short time from between now to 2026. That's only a mere 2 years.
Right.
So I do think that continued partnerships like this will continue to follow. They are not new, but I think for Krispy Kreme in this case, it's very strong delta in terms of its distribution channel. I think what we have seen is previously, you know, there is already collaborations, for example, with Luckin Coffee with Maotai. And in fact, there has also been partnerships between F&B and fashion companies as well to not only increase sales, but also to boost brand value. So like with regards to like Fendi and even Haiti, for example.
Right, lots to watch indeed. Thanks a lot, Jeremy. That was Jeremy Tan, CEO at Tiger Fund Management. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance.